Let's go now to a David and Goliath battle that is raging in the bush in New South Wales. 7 years ago, sheep and grain farmer Pat Murphy bought what he considered to be a prime slice of rural paradise near Narrabri in northwest New South Wales. Less than a year later, Aston Resources, which later merged with Whitehaven Coal, told him the company planned to develop one of the largest open-cut coal mines in Australia right on the border of his property. Unable to reach agreement with Whitehaven on a price to buy him out, Pat Murphy and his family are now suffering the consequences, including massive amounts of noise and dust pollution, as Greg Borschman reports.
New South Wales grazier Pat Murphy is what you might call an accidental activist. Like his parents before him, he's long been a rusted-on National Party voter, never thinking the government, or for that matter even a mining company, would do the wrong thing by him. But 6 years after being told that one of the biggest open-cut coal mines in Australia would be developed just over 1 kilometre from his boundary fence, he's now not so sure.
It's a living nightmare. It really is. Every morning you wake up and there's just dust everywhere. At night time, you know, you can smell it in the air. In the morning, sometimes the girls, I've got four beautiful little girls, sometimes they wake up with stuffed noses. You know, we can't affect our neighbours. So why the hell is Whitehaven Coal allowed to do whatever they want to my little family? It's just not right.
Grazing sheep and growing grain on the northern reaches of the rich Liverpool Plains, Pat Murphy is frustrated and increasingly angry with government and with Whitehaven Coal.
We have had discussions. I wouldn't class them as negotiations because at the moment I've got no cards. Whitehaven's got all the cards. So it's a bit hard to call it negotiation. It's more of a case of our way or the highway.
In September last year, Pat Murphy asked the Environmental Defenders Office to help him. Sue Higginson is the CEO and Principal Solicitor of EDO New South Wales.
Pat Murphy is a forgotten man. He's a man that has been placed next door to one of the largest open-cut coal mining operations in New South Wales.
Of course, Pat Murphy wasn't Robinson Crusoe. Recognising the scale of the Maules Creek mine and its environmental impacts, 12 properties surrounding the massive open cut were placed in what was called a voluntary acquisition zone. The expectation by government was that those property owners would eventually be bought out by Whitehaven, and most have since sold up. But unlike his neighbours, the planning approvals for the mine placed no limits on noise and dust pollution on Pat Murphy's property. Sue Higginson from EDO New South Wales again.
We've been looking at mining approvals around New South Wales for over a decade now, and this is not something that we come across. We don't come across a situation where a property in such close proximity to such a large polluting operation has absolutely no limits placed upon that property.
It's an apparent bureaucratic oversight that neither the New South Wales Department of Planning nor the state's Environment Protection Authority could explain to breakfast. Until last year, Simon Smith was manager of the Armidale region for the New South Wales EPA. He was well aware of Pat Murphy's problems. He says Whitehaven has no incentive to negotiate a solution because there are no pollution standards on Pat Murphy's property.
I don't think it works and doesn't work very well. In effect, what it does is it puts those people in no man's land. It means that if there is no standard, the operator isn't breaching any conditions. Because there is no standard, they can basically do what they like as long as they don't then impact people further away.
At Whitehaven Coal, Jamie Frankham is Executive General Manager of Operations. He says he's talked to Pat Murphy many times, but both parties haven't been able to agree on a realistic price.
It's not for lack of trying on both parties, but like any negotiation, you need to come to an agreed outcome, and we just haven't been able to get to that point.
Pat Murphy says every morning is a living nightmare. Dust everywhere. His four daughters often wake up with stuffed noses. You can see and taste the dust. Does that concern you?
Look, all I can say, Greg, is that the PM10, which is a measure of air quality that Maules Creek experienced on average for that last week, was 18. You know, as I look at the Office of Environment and Heritage site right now, you know, the same reading, PM10 at Randwick, is 35. So I would dispute that those sorts of events are occurring at Maules Creek.
So is that reading of PM10 18, is that actually the dust on Pat Murphy's property?
It's a measure of air quality.
on Pat Murphy's property?
In the Moores Creek area.
Would it surprise you to hear that the EPA doesn't know the answer to that question?
Well, I would refer them to their site. You know, there is not a specific monitor on Pat Murphy's property. So if that's the direct question, the answer is no. But you can extrapolate the results from the monitors that we have in the region, and regionally, that is the sort of results you will get.
So where does the duty of care lie here? Is it with Whitehaven? Is it with the state government? Where does the buck stop?
It's a collective responsibility, Greg, you know, and I guess we have, you know, license conditions and project approval conditions that we're required to work within.
I asked Jamie Frankham if he thought that government had created the problem by not setting limits for dust, noise and air pollution on Pat Murphy's property.
I wouldn't describe it as a problem. I mean, what I would describe it as is, you know, with the assessment and the evaluations and studies that were conducted as part of the approval of Moores Creek, it identified that, you know, in excess of 25% of Pat Murphy's property would be impacted by noise and air quality. You know, so not his residence, but 25% of his property. So within the project approval, that gives him certain rights, which gives him acquisition rights.
But Simon Smith, who worked with the EPA for 25 years, says Pat Murphy's case illustrates problems with the government's voluntary acquisition process.
I think it is that failure of the system. It was an attempt to try and resolve a problem, but it overlooked the fact that you had this position where you left people, as I say, in no man's land. It assumes that they want to sell. So it's sort of like a forced acquisition rather than a voluntary negotiated exit.
Sue Higginson from EDO New South Wales says Pat Murphy has private law rights, but the state has failed its duty of care.
The tragedy is that we have a state government approval. Mr. Murphy was not meant to be in a position where he has to be looking to the private law to try to remedy this harm that is occurring to him and his family. There was a responsibility on part of the state to approve a project and in doing so, approve it safely. It's a bizarre situation and it's not a situation that we have seen in a mining approval across New South Wales.
Has anyone been able to adequately or coherently explain to you why that may have happened?
No. To this date, I have not seen an answer from any of the material that's come from the department. I haven't had an explanation from the EPA. So it's very difficult to understand how this has happened.
Sue Higginson says she understands that there have been up to 100 breaches of noise conditions at the Moores Creek mine and continuing problems with blasting and air quality monitoring.
The EPA in New South Wales has imposed a mandatory audit over the mine. So I think over the next few months, there's certainly going to be some data and some results that really, really need to be absolutely scrutinised. But alongside that, there needs to be a remedy for Mr. Murphy, because you've got a mine that is proposing to operate for decades, but you've got Mr. Murphy here who's experiencing the impacts minute by minute.
For his part, even though he's hundreds of kilometres north of Gundagai, Pat Murphy is thinking of that icon of Australian bush poetry, the dog on the tuckerbox.
To borrow the lines of the late Jack Moses, who said in his poem, 9 miles from Gundagai, I've been jilted, jarred and crossed in love, sandbagged in the dark. To lift a mountain fell on me, I'd treat it as a lark. But it's when you got your bullocks bogged, that's the time you flog and cry. And the dog sat on the tucker box 9 miles from Gundagai. And that sums it up. For the last 6 years, we've been flogging and crying because we've been in limbo. Our bullocks are bogged through no fault of our own. The dog won't get off the tucker box, and the dog is the New South Wales government. It's time for the New South Wales government to get off the tucker box, get the bullocks moving, and sort this out so we can all get on with our lives.
That's New South Wales grazier Pat Murphy there, resorting to, or perhaps embracing, the power of poetry to help make his point. He lives next door to one of the biggest open-cut mines in Australia at Moores Creek on the Liverpool Plains of New South Wales. That report from our environment editor Greg Borschmann and the state's planning and environment ministers in New South Wales both declined breakfast requests for interviews.